Welcome to Inside Ag. I'm your host, Greg Deering. Today, I'm joined by my guest, K-State Extension farm economist, Robin Reed. She's here to discuss the 2020 Kansas land values book. Robin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks for having me this morning.
To start out, I want to ask you to describe the process of compiling the data in the book. What's included, what's not included, and what are some of the data points you'd like to have, but maybe don't necessarily get timely access to?
Sure. So this is the third year we've done the Kansas Land Values and Trends book. And this is in partnership with the Kansas Society of Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers. So what we do is obtain actual sales data at the individual parcel level from the Property Valuation Department in Topeka. So this is quite unique that we even get to look at these data. And then I'm able to compile them into a summary format to go ahead and release to the public. So in doing that, I really try to isolate it down to ag use sales only. And one of the biggest things I do is limit it to parcels that are at least 70 acres in size. Anything less than that, we're a little worried that we capture some, you know, different non-ag sales. So doing that really isolates it down some. But the other thing I do is go through actually individually county by county, look at all the sales and try to make sure we're capturing arm's length transactions. So ones that are sold, not between family members, not for development or non-ag use, and really try to clean it up so we have a good set of sales that are specific to ag. I will say even within that, there's a lot of variation. So I report county level values in that book, and I report economic average, and then I report the minimum and the maximum. So a lot of times you look at that and say, well, there's no way that ground would sell for 500 an acre in my county. And I agree, but there are situations that it did. These are actual sales, and I can't identify that that was a sale unique that should have been removed. So I like that we have in this book that minimum and that max, so you can see that range of values and where that parcel that you're interested in selling or buying may fall into. I would love to publish more, but just because we have to protect the identity of these individual parcels, you know, I can only report that average and the min and the max.
I'm sure a lot of people would like to know where they can find $500 an acre ground to buy. So
there's so much variation across the state. You know, when we look at the National Ag Statistics Service and they report a state average each year for where our land values are heading, what most people don't think about is what is a state average that represents nothing in the state. We have a lot of ground in Southwest Kansas that sells every year and is very cheap compared to when you look at Northeast Kansas. But in Northeast Kansas, very few acres sell comparatively per year. So that state average number really doesn't reflect anything in our state other than what's the overall trend and what direction is it going.
Were there any surprises compiling this information for last year?
So not a huge amount of surprise last year. We saw a lot of variation in our commodity prices as we hit the pandemic. We saw a low and a high in the same year that, you know, just made it really hard to make any marketing decisions. But the unique thing when I look at the sales data, and I actually have the first quarter of 2021 as well, and what I've seen already is we're seeing an uptick in ag land sales volume. So the last quarter of 2020, we saw 116,000 ag acres sell. And this is a volume that we have not seen since 2015. And then the first quarter of this year, we've had 130,000 acres sell. And that is just second place to what we saw in 2015. The last 5 years, we have not seen a sales volume this high in one quarter. For quarter one. So the market is picking up in volume. Another thing is we're picking up in value as well. So we hit the downturn in the farm economy in 2015, and everybody was worried about prices really dropping, repeat of the 1980s. And we didn't see that. We saw a softening in the market. You know, we came off a really high run up, but we remain fairly steady. And now what we're seeing in the last part of 2020, first part of 2021, those values are increasing. And what I've seen here is a non-irrigated ground, about a 9.4% increase at the state level already in 2021. And on pasture and hay, that's about 9.8% increase. So it's early in the year, but we are capturing a stronger land market for sure.
With that improving land market, do you have a good sense of who these buyers are or what these transactions look like? Or is this pressure from hunters, or are these landlords maybe taking up the opportunity of low interest rates and high commodity prices to maybe unload some of their parcels? Do you have a feel for what these transactions are like?
And this is a question that I get a lot, but the downfall of the data that we get is we don't actually know anything about the seller and the buyer. So I'm going to give you some of my thoughts of what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing across the state, but just know these are Robin Reed thoughts and not actual data that I can back them up with. But, so last year we had CFAP 1 and CFAP 2. We had some really high government payments going to farmers. And then at harvest time, we saw a run up in commodity prices that a lot of our producers were able to take advantage of. And now in 2021, we have, record prices that we haven't seen since 2013. So the ag economy is really picking up. And so really, to me, that is what's putting the strength in these prices. I'll talk a little bit about outside investors, but I'll say, our land market increase is a direct result of net farm income and a better farm economy. That being said, as I'm talking to producers across the state that are attending these land sales and different things, there is a lot of interest in farmland for hunting purposes or out of state. And my take on that, which again, this is Robin Reed talking, but it seems like these buyers are investing in this land, but they have an interest in it as well for hunting and recreation. So they see it as an investment, but they also see it as a recreational opportunity as well. There may be some outside investing other than that. And when we look at the long-term trend in Kansas, we see that land typically outperforms inflation by about 1.8%. And then if you don't consider inflation, it returns about 4.9% a year just in the value of the ground that's increased. That's without talking about the rental rate you get each year and that kind of thing. So it's not a bad long-term investment. There's ups and downs, but, there's an investment opportunity there. Now, I don't know how many are taking advantage of it for just that purpose, though. On the flip side, who is selling this ground? So retiring farmers and absentee landowners would be the number one category. And I think what we're seeing right now is a lot of people that have been holding on to that land because we had the downturn in the farm economy and a softened land market the last 3-4 years. When I talked about just the volume that's increased in the last quarter of 2020 and now the first quarter of 2021, I think a lot of people that wanted to sell that ground the last few years are now seeing a stronger land market and going ahead and putting that ground for sale that they maybe have wanted to sell, but just didn't like the market conditions. In 2010 to 2014, we saw the biggest run up in land sales value we've ever experienced, even adjusting for inflation in the 1970s. So we saw that big dip in 2015. People held onto land. There was a lot less sales volume in those few years of 15, 16, 17, and even 18. And now I anticipate 2021 being one of the highest volume ag sales years since we've seen since probably 2015.
I've mentioned the land values book here at the beginning, but how can maybe landowners or even those looking to buy use this report to inform their decision-making, or how should they use this report to inform their decision-making?
All right. So great question. One thing I'll mention first is where they can find this book that we've been talking about. So our website, agmanager.info, under the land farm management, land sales and leasing section, you'll find the web version of the book, but we also have copies at all 105 of our K-State Research and Extension offices if someone would like to go pick up a hard copy of the book. So the use of this book, in my mind, is just a starting point for a parcel's value when you're looking at a certain county and want to know what's that parcel worth, either if you're buying or selling it. Now, a lot of questions I get, people are looking for the magical number of what that specific parcel is worth. And they'll say, well, it has hardtop road access, it's got fence, it's got water, it's got this and that. Well, there's no way that I can capture those specific amenities and know how much that adds or decreases to the value. Again, this is a unique thing that we even have these numbers at the county level. So I would look at that average. I would look at the min and the max. Think about your parcel compared to most of the county. Everybody thinks they're above average, so be honest when you're assessing that piece of ground. And then, you know, think where in that spectrum that ground might fall. Is it above average? Okay. Is it, you know, where would it fall between the average and the maximum? One thing I'll say as I report these numbers, sometimes you won't see values for your county. And that's because there has to be at least 4 sales within 2020 that are parcels of ground that are primarily that category. So for example, non-irrigated crop ground in Riley County, I needed at least 4 sales that were at least 70% non-irrigated ground to be able to report those values. So I apologize, there are counties that there were not values from, but you'll need to just look at surrounding counties or the crop reporting district as a whole. The last thing I'll say about using this book, 2020 seems like a long time ago. Maybe not for some people. It seems like a blur in a lot of ways. But as I said, we have seen a lot of movement in the land market since then. So this is going to vary a lot locally, but I would say values right now in the current market, 5 to 10% above what is printed in that book for 2020.
And as you mentioned, 2020 was kind of a up and down year, and a lot of people, I think, would like to forget that or have forgotten it already. You mentioned 5, 10% increases in land. Is this something that's sustainable, or is there an end in sight? Or as long as the ag economy is on the upswing here, that rate's probably going to head higher as well?
So I'll consult my crystal ball for this, but I do think we're going to see a strong land market through this year and probably into next year. Like I said, even though we've talked about outside investors and hunting and this and that, still the thing that drives the land market is the farm economy. And every indicator that we look at right now says we're going to have strong commodity prices through this year and into next year. So when I look at that, I wouldn't be surprised if we end this year even 15% higher than what we had last year for land values. And really, one thing I like to think about, so 2015 was our peak at land values in Kansas when we hit the run up and started coming down. How long would it take us, or what would it take us to return to those peak values? If we look comparatively to 2020, we would have to have a 20% increase in our land values this year in non-irrigated crop ground to get back to the peak that we had in 2015. I don't think we're going to be able to do that in 1 year. I think maybe over the course of the next couple of years, we could get back to those 2015 levels, but probably not a 20% increase in 1 year. Pasture and hay ground did not drop as much as non-irrigated. So to get back to our 2015 levels, it'd be a 14% increase over our values in 2020. I don't know that we'll achieve 14% either, because our cattle prices are not comparatively as good as our grain prices increases that we've seen. But when you think about that too, there is going to be more pressure to keep those cattle on grass and get some gains there before they go to the feed yard, and we'll have, you know, high priced corn and other ingredients that go into their ration. So, you know, there's a lot of time yet in 2021, but I do see that we will definitely end the year higher, and, you know, I wouldn't be surprised 10, 15% higher.
Any final thoughts before we go?
Well, I would say just, you know, remain vigilant to your current marketing conditions. I do hear from a lot of you out there, but I definitely welcome a phone call and an email if you want to tell me about some of the things that are going on in your area. I do appreciate hearing that because I do get to look at these sales every quarter, but by then a lot of things have changed even in a month's time. So I'd love to hear from anyone out there. And if they have questions as they look at the book, they're free to contact me as well.
That's Robin Reed with K-State Extension. Robin, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Greg.
That's it for this edition of Inside Ag. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. From Manhattan, I'm Greg Deering for Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture. Inside Ag is made possible by Kansas Farm Bureau members in each of the state's 105 counties. To become a member, visit www.kfb.org/join.